What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Pre-market pretty steady here following that failed bounce on Tuesday. Risk on sentiment being driven by some incrementally positive headlines on Evergrande, COVID vaccines, therapeutics. Fed decision, of course, 2 p.m. Eastern time on this first day of autumn. Our roadmap begins with stocks seeking to claw back from a string of losses as contagion fears ease and as investors await tapering tea leaves from the Fed.
Plus, media is in focus this morning. Disney warns of headwinds, subscriber headwinds, for its streaming service. That was late yesterday. Viacom CBS launching a new streaming bundle, and Comcast CEO Brian Roberts promising new partnerships coming for Peacock.
And shares of FedEx sharply lower ahead of the open. The shipping giant lowering its outlook for the year amid a tight labor market and continued supply chain woes. So Evergrande says they are going to make this payment on Thursday, Jim. Got copper up 3%. Is this the day to buy some of these materials?
I think that President Xi, who's not president for life yet, we say he is, basically overreached here. And what happened is that he's decided to pay off domestic. That's going to end the contagion. Now, overseas, there really isn't that much exposure to American companies. I don't know who's got, BlackRock has this little. But what they're doing is they're making good the people who... the individuals who are owed money. Now, when I say making good, it's a communist regime. They can basically just say, listen, we're going to make it so that these people didn't lose money. And that is going to be very bullish. All right. That's going to make it so people say, wait a second. We get it. He will bail out individuals. So this 29% of the economy could be game one again. What I warn is there are 80 million vacant apartments. That's a lot of apartments, David. That's even more vacancies than there are in New York State real estate.
How? Give me that number again. How many?
80 mil.
880.
Yeah.
80 million.
Well, they got a lot of apartments there.
Well, they got a lot of people, too.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
1.2. But yeah. but you got to start reading. There's certain people like I love Ignatius. I've always, his novels are good, too. But he's talking about the disturbing Maoist turn. And he's basically talking about the things that she has done that we don't even talk about. How about the crackdown on gays? I mean, do we have to sell them so much that we have to, like, let them do that? Is that all right? In the name of selling what? Sneakers? Let them crack down on gays? You comfortable with that?
No.
I think it's outrageous.
It is outrageous, but
we got to sell suits. We got to sell sneakers.
What you can tell Apple to move their manufacturing elsewhere?
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I think that what you do is you try to say to the government, listen, we have a bargain. We just wish that you would focus on running a great country and doing well, but that this needless attacks are no good. Common prosperity is one thing, but individual civil liberties is another. And I think that you have to at least try. I'm not saying they can succeed because it is a command economy, but I am saying that she has so overreached here that it's painful to read what he does and how we do need sales in this. It's a great country to sell, but we cannot just idly let him go by and say these things.
Who's the we? Who's the we? Is it corporate America or is it the U.S. government?
Well, the U.S. government.
In cooperation with a bunch of other governments,
right.
I assume.
Well, I mean, you know, Europe, 25% of their products go to China. You never hear when was the last time the Europeans talked about the crackdown? This is not a crackdown, David, about video games. This is a crackdown about behavior.
No, it's a human rights issue.
Well, I'm very uncomfortable with just letting him.
Okay. It doesn't mean it's going to mean a thing. I don't mean to be cynical, but
I think we
so what?
I think that even that the media just because we're in the media doesn't mean we check our brains at the door.
No, understood. But what you're saying is not something that has yet happened, and so it's unclear to me what's going to change that.
I know. I know. I'm just saying that it is very hard to read that attack on sissies and not say, you know what, I got to speak out on this. I have to speak out. Not just because I have someone in my family who is gay, but because I just can't believe that this is happening. And we all just say, hey, it's a crackdown on video games. But anyway, he bailed out the people who had video, who owned apartments that didn't come through. And I guess now it's okay. We just move on.
So that's it. That's it. The global rebound continues. Commodities, materials, industrials.
Well, they've gone down a lot. Well, look, we have the ports issue, right? It's very interesting that those who have been trying to get their ships all the way around to the East Coast, it's also a jam there.
The supply chain issues are everywhere.
Everywhere. And, did you read the FedEx piece?
I did read parts of it.
Did you think it was funny? Like I did?
Funny as in risible?
Funny as in ha-ha? The hatred. The analyst, it was an open rebellion. Cool.
One of those.
It was. But how many times did they say, listen, why do your margins stink and everybody else's margins are coming back?
And did they have an answer?
Nothing that I found even remotely sufficient. I mean, there's one guy at the end. I mean, every single person asked, but at the end, there's like Jack Lawrence Atkins from Stevens, and he goes, we haven't really come close since fiscal year 2016 to making the margins that they've been saying. They start the call with talking about what it's like to deliver.
We're looking at, by the way, the COO discussing the labor shortages and costs that have been going
they're
up
doing
in terms
tomorrow's
of the first quarter.
Tomorrow's a Labor Day at FedEx. No, they're trying to hire 90,000 people more. It starts with a nightmare about trying to ship something in Portland and how Portland doesn't work. Our Portland, Oregon hub is running with approximately 65% staffing. So they have to send things to other places to then get it to Portland. That's how they start their conference call. Hey, we don't know what we're doing. Let me tell you why we don't know what we're doing. We can't hire.
But these...
is this a business?
Jim, these problems are
endemic?
All over. Yes, the United States economy, the inability to hire and have the a complete labor force that you need to deliver your product or do whatever it is, dealing with inflation in all sorts of commodities that you are using for whatever your end product is. You hear it every single conversation, and then supply chain. I can't get this. I can't get that.
Okay,
I got to wait on this.
Okay.
It's really
Carl,
it's hard enough to do business.
Carl, I point out that throughout the conference call, the analysts are saying there are many companies that have been able to expand their margins during this period. But FedEx is not one of them.
And why is that? Have they not raised price enough? What are they doing?
That's what I said. I said they're just undercharging. They don't have the infrastructure to handle, so they got to raise rate. They got to raise how much? Now, in the meantime,
which goes back to the inflation side.
Maybe it shouldn't cost $20 to send something overnight across the country. Maybe it should cost $40.
It cost me $1,000 to get a suit from Italy using FedEx. I thought that was high.
So to get it shipped or just buy the entire thing?
I asked it to be sent. Uh-huh. It's more than the suit.
What is it? Did they send the tailor with the suit?
Yeah, in the box. What do you think is this? Nissan? No. I mean, FedEx is in Europe and it's still not working. How many years have we heard about that not working? But the main thing is that they're saying other guys have passed on costs. Why doesn't FedEx? And the answer is, FedEx is trying to keep prices down so you don't spend $1,000 on a suit.
I don't know. I just wonder today when we listen to Powell, is he going to start to give a little more voice to some of these?
No, he's going to be
every conversation.
No, he's going to be
whether it's small business or big business, Jim, and you must have it too. And Carl, my costs are going up. I can't find enough people. I'm dealing with supply chain issues.
Yes.
Are you raising a price? Yeah, I'm probably raising price. I mean, is that really
on the other hand, if you get some solutions to the pandemic that Gottlieb was just talking about,
right?
A lot of these things melt away. Well, maybe not all of them, but some.
But why is Portland 65% staffed? I mean, don't you think that's COVID? It isn't just like people just said, hey, I don't feel like working. Maybe we're now seeing the reverberation of the Unemployment benefits being cut down. That's probably going to help.
Right.
We need people.
It's just endless.
J-Pal cannot create people.
I talked to a guy at the pool the other day. He runs sushi restaurants. It's like, I can't get tuna from Indonesia. Like, nobody there. He's like, there's seven different steps that have
three
to go.
Diamonds?
Nobody's working.
Home Depot, some of those big retailers are securing their own cargo ships so they
don't
have to go into Long
Beach. Doesn't FedEx have more 767s and 777s? You know what one of the problems is we don't talk about is there used to be a lot of cross-border planes, but no planes are going anywhere, so they can't put the cargo's in on a ship. You know, the more expensive stuff is being sent, used to be spent by, you know, when you have a plane going from Shanghai to San Francisco.
Right.
Those flights aren't really happening.
Meanwhile, you try and get a container, you're paying multiples of what you paid.
10x in a year.
So spend less.
Well, it all kind of ties.
Eat at home, don't go out.
It ties back to what Jamie Dimon told one of our affiliates internationally about what would happen if inflation truly did surprise into the next year and what Jay Powell may have to do about that. Take a listen.
They're indicating, you know, that sometime in November, give or take a month or two, they'll tell the world that they're going to stop tapering. I don't know if they're going to describe exactly how they're going to do it. The taper itself will take. The way they're talking about will take a year or something like that. And, you know, that'll all be fine if we have decent growth. I think decent growth is far more important than anything, that we keep on growing, and that is the antidote for all ills.
That's not the soundbite I was looking for. What he did say was that it's possible that the Fed could be pushed into a sharp move next year. If inflation gets too high. Not saying that's going to happen,
right,
but it's possible.
If Dr. Gottlieb is right, it won't happen. I believe that a lot of what's going on is that people aren't going to work. We also need to have...
Why aren't people going to work?
Well, women aren't in the labor force because they've had... This is
kids are in
Secretary
school.
Secretary Raimondo saying that. No, I'm saying give it a little chance here. You know, give it... Here, call me.
Yes.
Mr. Powell, first I want to know why you allowed a lot of renegade trading where guys made a lot of money based on what you were about to say.
So you don't think there'll be any questions about this?
No, let me finish. It's a two-part question, Mr. Powell.
Okay,
and,
Jim.
And secondly, why have you let rampant inflation continue when you probably even yourself? Have you been to the movies? Have you been to the supermarket? How much is milk? How much is oatly?
Yeah.
And then third, we have Toast on. Toast came public today, and they're talking about restaurant prices going up. So, Mr. Powell, you're a disaster. There. You want that? I just did it. You know, I once did that to Jerry Brown when he was governor. I was surprised. I said, why are you trying to put a man on the moon when you're the governor of California?
That was his first time around in the 70s.
Yeah. When you're a governor, why are you putting a man on the moon? And he goes, that's the most stupid question I've ever heard. And then people started talking to me as that, wow, Kramer's a tough guy.
Back to the Evergrande saga this morning. Eunice Yoon is in Beijing. Can give us an update on what the developments are this morning. Hi, Eunice.
Hey, Carl. Well, Evergrande's flagship property business said that it will be able to make a $36 million interest payment on a local yuan bond, which is due on Thursday. The company, Hengda, said that it was able to resolve the issue through private negotiations, but it didn't specify exactly how that's going to be paid or when. It's also still unclear what that all means for dollar bond interest payments, which are also due on Thursday, or the potential impact for a broader restructuring. Even so, the development was able to lift sentiment, as you could imagine, in the Chinese stock markets, which reopened after a two-day break. Property stocks rallied. The banking stocks didn't do so well, especially those that have a lot of exposure to Evergrande. In fact, Evergrande still owes about $850 million in coupon payments this year alone. China's central bank injected about $14 billion into the banking system. It also left unchanged a key lending rate for September, though there's been a lot of talk now that because of all these problems that we're seeing in the property sector, that the central bank could move ahead with a rate cut as early as next month. And we are seeing more signs of stress in the housing market. There are now eight Chinese cities that have told developers not to cut and offered steep discounts on new apartments in order to try to raise cash. So you could see that there's a concern on the part of local authorities that if they do see more housing price declines, then that could hurt the value for a lot of households and current homeowners in their real estate markets. Carl?
Certainly something that the government does not want to see happen, no. Eunice. Thank you, Eunice Yoon. We'll take a break here. Lots to get to corporate-wise, including Adobe, Disney News, Facebook, Stitch Fix. Got some calls on Netflix and SoFi. And, of course, we'll keep our eye on two big IPOs today, Toast and Freshworks, as futures are positive. We're back in a moment.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
A few moments ago, Comcast chairman and CEO Brian Roberts making comments on the streaming business this at the Goldman Sachs Communacopia conference, which is virtual, saying that they are looking at, that is Comcast, new partnerships outside of the U.S. for Peacock. Of course, Peacock is the company streaming service. Roberts also saying that when it comes to streaming overall as a potential threat to the good old-fashioned broadcast business, well, he says the Internet is kind of more of a friend than a foe. All right, if you say so. Comcast still hasn't recovered from that significant drop it took last week when CFO Michael Cavanaugh gave people concerns about subscriber additions, essentially, in broadband, which is really the business here. It was down over 7% the day, came back a bit, but not a much. It was over $60 stock.
Even though you pointed out that this happened last year this time.
No, it happened in 2017.
2017.
But 4 years ago, almost identical to the
day. How's the stock done since 2017?
A guy named Strauss said the same thing Kavanaugh did at the same conference.
I work for Comcast, but...
Yes, you do.
This is not...
You're bought and paid for, man. You are owned. Comcast.
That hurts.
It does?
I spent a lifetime not being owned. Now I'm owned by Toast behind me. You know, I do these videos for the street, and Citadel, the name Citadel's behind me. I sent an email to Citadel today trying to get them to say that I am not an employee of Citadel. Now, David, listen to me.
I'm listening.
All I am doing is saying that Comcast did come back as a stock after they had this 2017 hiccup.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. And there really were not a lot of comments from Mr. Roberts in terms of trying to at least sort of say, wait a second, things got taken out of context.
Him to clarify.
It didn't really happen. He talked, it was with John Waldron conducting the interview. He was the number two at Goldman Sachs. He's trying to, I don't know, man. He's busy with his day job, but then he tries to, be us.
Did you see who they've been interviewing?
He does interviews all the time. Yeah, he's interviewing
Steve
everybody.
Steve Buscemi. Goldman's become kind of like the Ed Sullivan Show. Or maybe,
Waldron have a job to do? We stop getting on our territory, all right?
I think he should stop.
Can we talk?
Will Frost's father.
Yes.
At this point would have been David Frost. He would have been in charge of M&A. And he would be saying, well, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going in trying to run Goldman Sachs.
I have the Queen of England I'm interviewing.
Real quickly on this topic of streaming, Disney did get hit yesterday after Chapek had comments at the same conference late yesterday.
Yeah.
Talking about, let's call it headwinds. I mean, Disney Plus has, of course, exceeded every subscriber metric that anybody had, more or less anybody had imagined for it some time back. But it's getting tougher, is at least what he said, in terms of, continuing to add at the same level. So he said in Q4, I think what you can expect to see is our global paid subs will increase low single-digit millions of subscribers versus Q3. But the core market sub growth, he did say, will continue both domestically and internationally.
Yes, it will.
But some headwinds.
Look, I think he gave the bears something to chew on. Absolutely. I end up thinking that they will get indigestion.
We've seen this many times before. The toughest line was right at the end when he was asked about dividend buyback, and he used the term sort of in the distant future. We'll get that. I would not have said that. I would have said it's up. It will be on the table in a matter of time. I wouldn't have used the sort of in the distant future. That was kind of like the line sometimes when you go in the old days and it was like you might be on in the distant future. I wouldn't have said.
Magic.
I would have talked about how the cruise ships are going.
Parks are back a little bit.
Yeah, the numbers were good. But no, he focused on this sort of the distant future. May the time not be distant, David.
That's not. Let's hope not.
No.
There we go.
We'll get Kramer's Mad Dash and countdown to the opening bell. Lots to get to still. Take a look at the futures as we try once again to hold a bounce on this bit of a sigh of relief on China. We're back in a moment.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Futures reacting to some reassuring headlines on China's Evergrande. Of course, the Fed decision, 2 p.m. today, press conference at 2:30. You got materials, copper's higher, VIX is down for a second day, now below 23. The opening bell in about 6 minutes.
All right, we got a mad dash. I don't know if people heard me mention Adobe. We'll get to that, but you're going to do General Mills now.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of Jeff Hemerding. Jeff Hemerding has done a lot. Jeff Hemerding has made this company into a pet food company. That is a growth area, okay? But, David, you're going to see the stock jump today. Why? Because he's talking about organic net sales up 2%.
Yeah.
Do you know, literally, on September 8th, he was saying that organic net sales could be down better at the upper range of down 1-3. So in other words, it's September 22nd, first day of fall, by the way. On September 8th, he said that things would be down. And now he says that things are up. You want to be able to manufacture an upside surprise? That is the way I can make this is Cheerios.
Yes, it is.
So I just think that when you guide up after guiding less than a month ago and you fool, it's a little bit of kind of painting the tape to some degree.
So you're not a believer in buying on this rally.
I happen to like pet food. I didn't think the stock should have gone down when he pre-announced not that long ago. But I just say, did things get much better from between September 8th and September 23rd, 22nd? No. But that people are buying it because he emphasized once again that it's the pet food side that's very good.
Yeah, sales up 20, I think.
20%.
On pet, yeah.
I think General Mills should never have been down after he said what he said because on September 8th, I think it's a great company. If you want to know which of the food companies has a legitimate chance of rallying and keeping it, it's not Kellogg. I'd like to think it's Campbell's Soup. Not yet. It's General Mills because they've moved aggressively into pet, which is the biggest growth area. As people just people discovered, bought a lot of pets during and saved a lot of pets during COVID, and they didn't toss them once COVID ended. I'm trying to get two goats.
Okay, to eat what?
They eat a lot of grass.
Yes.
Eat the hair on your legs too. Be very careful.
Okay, I will.
But I'm saying that I'm going to rescue some goats.
Rescue goats. You're going to rescue the goats.
I am going to rescue goats.
What are you going to do with them?
Rescue them.
No, where are they going to live?
I'll put them on the farm I bought.
A lot of different places.
I bought them on the farm I bought with Bitcoin.
Sounds nice. How about some cows?
Cows eat you out of house and home. But I used to have a couple of longhorns, and you would toss the hay, and it would land on their horns.
Yes.
Oh, man. That's like one of those song and dance routines the cows could do.
David, you are toast.
Speaking of which, there's the opening bell on the CNBC real-time exchange at the big board. It is restaurant payments company Toast. Celebrating its IPO today, we'll talk to the CEO, Chris Comparato, in the next hour. At the NASDAQ, celebrating its IPO, Freshworks. We'll talk with the CEO of the India-based software as a service company on TechCheck today. Both of them, well, Toast prices at 40, well above the earlier ranges.
Yeah.
And Freshworks at 36.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Toast does have very good growth, 125%. I thought this is, might want to ask you about the $235 million that they just lost in the last 6 months. So, you know what? If you do, David, if you keep selling, right?
It's about
it doesn't
growth.
Matter whether you lose money.
Not in can the I early just say, stages. It's about growth. As long as you can fund that growth, that's all it's about. Right. Reaching, trying to increase your, increase the scale of your business and your total addressable market, of course, which is always going to be enormous, no matter what business you're in. Because that's what the CEO is always telling
us. I don't
want
to throw cold water on all the nice people around me. But this is in my wheelhouse as a restaurateur.
Yes.
And you, we're not growing in restaurants, okay? Because the costs are too great. You may want to ask Jay Powell about that. This total addressable market that they have, they are using an idea that there's just going to be an ever-expanding number of restaurants. That's wrong. Second, you can what we call football these guys. You can go to Toast and you can say, listen, I'm going to go to Lightspeed. You know, Lightspeed, they didn't do that. Or, well, I'm going to go to Square. I'm going to go to Clover. I'm going to go. You can make these guys. You can make these guys play ball. This is not a good business.
Whoa.
Well, they've gone from, 19,000 locations a couple of years ago to 48,000 locations?
Well, they have to make money. And I don't know how they can when the restaurants are so strapped.
Well, if your value proposition is that we're going to actually allow you to be more efficient and therefore save money, why isn't that something
because
that will open a
don't
door?
Have, because people don't have enough money to be able to continue. A lot of restaurants that are, yes, they can save in the future, but right now they can't do the upfront.
So they're not ready to make the investment that will allow them to save.
Right, this is so tough.
So you're not a buyer here.
No, I'm not a buyer of this
particular
name.
No,
I'm not a buyer of this because I have seen what you can do when you decide to pair these, when you literally say, hey, listen, it's costing me X at the other guy.
Got it.
The only guy that has been really good is DoorDash at this. And DoorDash, of course, is delivery. But they own everybody. They went and bought everybody that wasn't bought by Uber Eats.
We talked about Dash yesterday. You know what else we talked about yesterday? Otis, which is the second biggest gainer on the S&P right now, up 4%.
What? David tried to get me to say something negative about Otis, but I said Judy Marks.
I asked you the question as to whether the company might not be well-positioned given the decline in the property market in China and overall development.
I they're going to try to keep that property market.
That's a pretty reasonable
they're
question.
They're going
to
try to keep that property market in the balls in the air. But I don't know what they're going to do about foreign. The guys who own the foreign bonds, I think that's going to be a bit of a disaster.
But stock had come down in a bit of a rebound this morning, as we say.
I need you to meet Judy Marks.
Okay.
During the height of the pandemic, Judy Marks, when you're not even supposed to, when everyone's Zooming, and by the way, we haven't even talked about Zoom.
Yes.
Judy Marks is in front of people saying, listen, we will service, we will do this, we'll do that. Her organic growth is extraordinary, and I think she's done a fantastic job. Okay.
You want to talk about Adobe at all? You had Sean New on the show
last
night. The stock is down about 3%. Obviously, they've had great growth.
Right.
But tell me what your thoughts are on the quarter.
Okay, so a lot of people are saying that the moment that Shantanu Narayen mentioned seasonality, well, wait a second, we're buying growth stocks. We're not going to buy something that has seasonality. So that was like one of those moments where people said, whoops, got to sell Adobe. Now, this has happened so many times that I can't, not like Comcast in 2017, but like every year.
Right.
And what you've had to do is you've had to buy the stock between now and their max event, which is October 26th to 28th. It's been a great trade. This company is doing so well. The margins continue to be good. There's only one analyst that was negative, and that's BMO. Everybody else raised their price target. I think the Creative Cloud is not a shortfall. The digital experience is fantastic. Buy Adobe into this week, just not today.
because these sellers are going to try to make themselves look good, because what the brokers do, you know, they try to get the VWAP. They get the worst.
Yes.
They close it at the low and say, hey, listen, I bought it. I sold it for you down 27 and finished down 32.
Right.
So buy it tomorrow morning. But Shantanu and Ryan put up an amazing quarter. And anyone who thinks that they didn't is simply someone who does not understand the power and the juggernaut that is Adobe.
It is a 6-week low here on that chart. So you're saying it, the other thing we heard this morning was that it's not the typical Adobe blowout, which we've heard a lot about the last couple of
months. You know what? Three or four times I've seen the not typical Adobe blowout, and then I look at the stock a month later, and I realize, wow, you know, they picked up a new client. You know, the number, the client list, by the way, was pretty much everybody. Walmart, Facebook, they picked up. They do some business with Nike, the port suit. A lot of just great customers.
Yes.
And I like Shopify. They're really good with the back-end fulfillment for the smaller. But these guys do it for the bigger. And Shantanu is bankable. I have to tell you, this last appearance on Tech Check, and this that's pretty good.
Well, you had him last night. Here's what Narayan told Jim on Mad Money.
We feel really good about the quarter. We feel really good about the year. But I think more important, we feel even better about the future. I think people really appreciate that we're helping them not just with the technology, but with the people and the processes. And so we will continue to do that in terms of both the innovation that we deliver.
I think that there's two things going on here. One of the things is Salesforce. I had Marc Benioff on last night. He is creating a whole generation. He's talking about 6 million, maybe 9 million people, but who are learning how to code and do things in Salesforce. And if you look at a young person's resume, it says fluent in Salesforce. The second thing is that Shantanu is going as far as the middle schools, even elementary schools, giving them their product. And these people are now working at companies and saying, why don't we do it this way, David?
Yeah.
They are proselytizers for Adobe, whether it be PDFs, okay, whether it be document, the Adobe document. We don't talk about that enough because it's, I think in many ways it's different from DocuSign, but more thorough. David, I think Adobe, once again, there's always a line that people don't like. That's because he doesn't play ball like that. That's not the way he plays it. He's honest, he's tough, he's rigorous, and he's a winner.
Well, as we pointed out, if you take a look at a five-year chart, it sort of answers the question in terms of what
I rest my case.
Long-term in this name.
Are you going to give us anything JetBlue?
No, I was going to actually follow on our breaking story from yesterday first.
On DraftKings?
Yeah. I would look forward to you giving us something perhaps on JetBlue and regulatory action there in terms of their alliance potential with American, right? But Entain shares were up again this morning. About almost 24 hours exactly since we told you, of course, of the offer from DraftKings to acquire Entain, the large UK-based. They do have some brick-and-mortar betting parlors as well, but it's all about online these days. And you can see DraftKings shares. That's the key here. What are they going to continue to do as they try to negotiate with Entain? The bid is 2,800p right now. 630p of that is in cash. The remainder, of course, is in stock, very similar to what we told you yesterday. There had been a 2,500p bid made that was rejected. Overall, that you're talking about a huge premium to where the stock was, and more than double what MGM offered to buy the company for less than a year ago. And, you know, we'll see where it stands. But as I tried to explain in my reporting yesterday, you know, there had been some thought, well, would MGM come back here? No,
right.
That's not what's going to happen. MGM is very much focused on their partnership with Entain here in the United States called BetMGM. And they, as I said yesterday in one of my final reports on this later in the day, they want to be in a position to potentially take control there, both economically and from a governance perspective. And that's what they're salivating over, the opportunity to do that. They have consent rights, they say, in terms of really being being able to block any potential buyer of Entain. But they'll negotiate with DraftKings. That's what they want. DraftKings, by the way, could be faced with an antitrust issue if they were to actually keep things as they are. So it may be in their interest to sizably reduce their economics and their control. The question is how much it's going to cost everybody. MGM, how much will it cost them to buy, you know, what they don't own of that partnership? But that's the key in one way here. And then obviously you got DraftKings having to negotiate with Entain, see if they can get to the finish line there in terms of a deal that Entain will accept. And keep an eye on that DraftKings currency, because that's important. You got to make sure it bottoms.
Well, I'm sure there are people here who are saying, well, why isn't DraftKings talking? Well, obviously, it's the way it works in Europe, you've told me, is it's Entain that has to do the talking.
Yeah, and also shareholders can eventually do the talking.
Right.
DraftKings has to bring an formal official offer by the 19th of October. If they do that, then it goes to shareholders. It's different under the UK takeover code.
Entain has great cash flow.
Yeah, as opposed to DraftKings, which obviously is in huge growth mode, but not making any
money. And I think that's really important. Like, not unlike Toast, which I'm not saying Toast is Toast. Okay,
right.
That's for tonight. Only have money.
Got it.
But I do think that what DraftKings is doing is cost of acquisition is high.
Yep.
But they are trying to dominate. It's very hard to go up against casino, by the way, because casino has natural infrastructure.
Right.
But I think this acquisition would make sense for them because suddenly we would say, wow, the cash flow is a little better.
One key here in the whole partnership is the technology that underlies the BetMGM partnership and how you would go about. Would you allow DraftKings to continue to use that technology even though they no longer were a key part of the partnership itself? So there's a lot of negotiating left to be done here because you can't really split that tech, but you could conceivably allow them both to use it. But that's an important part of this, too.
Boy, it's
just underlying technology that allows you to do everything you need to do.
It's happening right now when gambling is obviously very, very hot because of football. I think it would be great for DraftKings if the deal's done at obviously at a reasonable price. But
yeah,
we're already talking
over 22 bills. So.
Well, it's a lot of money, but it would change.
Cash,
You know, you go from losing a lot of money and getting customers to losing less money and getting a lot of customers.
Right.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
But you did break that story, and that was very impressive, by the way, because when I tried to source this thing, it was like, are you kidding me? Faber has that story. I was like, great. Thank you.
Amen.
He's my partner.
Every so
talk
often,
to Faber. I got guys telling me talk to Faber.
Every so often, I'm still capable of
stop it with the self-loathing.
No, I'm not talking. Come on.
God.
I don't do it too often. Speaking of deals, Zoom, Five9.
All over it.
You are.
Yeah, I am.
You know, a lot of people are not really paying that or don't care that much about this story in the journal about the government review from a national security perspective. By the way, H.R. McMaster's on that board. Some people are like, come on. But the real question still is Zoom stock price, Jim. And
yeah, I know. That's
when that's going to bottom and what they're going to do to be able to top off the offer so that they actually got a favorable shareholder vote from Five9,
but
which right now they're not going to get.
Now, look, my stepson works for Zoom, so I got to say that up front. But I do think that that Zoom's given you the right to not use the Chinese servers if you don't want it. So I thought that this was an overreach. And the FCC comment seems pretty lame to me. But.
Yeah, I did not hear a lot of concern in the marketplace about that. It's much more the focus on will Zoom raise the offer?
Absolutely.
And will they do it through cash? And when will they do it? And will it be enough to get Five9 shareholders to vote in favor?
And everybody
and
just suddenly
right
decide they don't like
the 30th
Zoom.
Of September.
They decide they don't like Zoom. Hey, speaking of secure, WebEx is secure. Their servers are here. But Cisco stock can't make any headway even after it had a very good analyst day. This is a kind of a grim moment. We all kind of want things to go up, but we don't have enough to buy. That's good.
We do want to. We should get Facebook on the tape here. That's a two-month low now at 347. A couple different reports. One is Axios talking about potential more ad boycotts coming off of the heels of that journal series. And then Ad Age with a piece on inventory shortages affecting the ad market. Toy makers, why would you advertise going into the holiday if you got not that much to sell?
Well, look, Benioff yesterday on Mad Money took a shot at him basically just saying, listen, this is a corrupt enterprise. And you may think it's not hurting their numbers now. I don't know if we have it.
We actually do. This is a remarkable Mark, who's been consistently critical of the company. But here's what he told Jim.
I believe in redemption. I believe in pardoning. I hope that one day they'll make the change. But today, wow, it's just unacceptable to see this kind of behavior in such a large and important company like that. If you look at what's going on in the pandemic and just the amount of information that's just plain wrong. That's on there. It's just, you know, this has to stop.
Yeah, this is when Mark Zuckerberg has to actually come on CNBC and talk. He does. He has to say, listen,
it's not gonna happen. That's not going to happen.
Well, how do you know it's not going to happen?
Because I've been doing this a really long time, and I typically know how people respond to these things, and my expectation is that he will not do that.
But do you think that someone, that Mark Zuckerberg, can sit here and listen to this man say that one of the biggest problems with COVID is Facebook, and it's going to hurt their earnings?
Maybe he'll go on Good Morning America or the Today Show, but he's not coming on with us.
But I disagree with you.
Okay. I'll be right.
I'm with David.
I'll be right. Yeah. How about the big Thursday meeting that he has with the staff? You're with David, too. How about we invite him right here, right now?
You can invite him on the one.
He's not coming.
Yeah. What? He's busy with that American flag on that board.
Yes.
I think he... Well, let's put it this way. If I were him, I would come on because Mark Benioff has a lot of power, and he basically called it a corrupt enterprise. And I would not want the company I created to be called a corrupt
Mark
enterprise.
Benioff does not mince words.
No, he doesn't.
That is amazing.
And his birthday is this weekend.
Happy birthday to him as well.
Good. That'll be the nicest thing that he thinks you've ever said.
It is now below.
He wants to know the antipathy that you have for him still.
That is completely untrue. He and I are in a very good place, Mr. Benioff. We have a night. We exchange texts, and it's all good.
Okay. So is his birthday the 24th, the 25th, or the 26th?
But I know that he's 25th.
And what is the 25th?
It's the 25th.
What is the 25th?
What do you mean, what is the 25th?
I'm doing it in the form of a question.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, man. Dow's up 200. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Morning, Bob.
Hello, Carl. Quite a crowd out there. Toast IPO, very boisterous, a lot of fun. Talking to those people earlier today. We'll get to that in a minute here. But 6-1 advancing to declining stocks. The high print was just about at the open. This happened in the last few days recently, so we'll keep an eye on that. Cyclicals doing better. China rebounding. You heard from Eunice Evergrande talking about making a bond payment that was rather critical. So that's up. Energy, retail, tech, cyclical sectors doing a little bit better. Healthcare, some of the more defensive sectors lagging a little bit. We're playing the usual rally for the FOMC meeting, but as Art Cashin has pointed out, these rallies going into the FOMC meeting, which used to be so reliable, haven't been so reliable recently, but traders are trying to play that. We're, of course, waiting for the FOMC, some guidance on tapering before the end of the year. And what is the standard? It's kind of what the question is. Is it going to be non-farm payrolls trending upward? We need a little more guidance on what it's going to take to get to tapering here. And, of course, we don't know anything about the debt ceiling, whether or not that's a factor in their deliberations at all. Of course, we'll be waiting on that. Meantime, while we're waiting for the Fed, there's been an awful lot of technical damage. The market is just a mess. I think there's only 4 up days so far this year, not counting this month. I'm not counting today. 30% of the NYSE is only 30% above the 50-day moving average, and 48%. Only 48% are above the 200-day moving average. That's a very bad number. That's the lowest since October 2020. Those are long-term numbers when you're talking about the 200-day moving average. So we got a lot of momentum that's been lost recently. We're starting to get some earnings in. The early reporters and the guys were talking about FedEx, but just let me show you here. The 200-day moving average is 41.12 for the S&P 500. That would be roughly a 10% correction here. And so we're, 6% away from that right now. And you see we violated the 50-day moving average. That's that purple line. The gray line is the 200-day moving average. Meantime, I was mentioning FedEx. The guy's been talking about FedEx. I think the key takeaway is very, very simple. Labor shortages are going to persist into potentially 2022. That's not a company-specific problem. That now seems to be a real problem with the entire country at this point, and FedEx seems to be the leading indicator for that one in particular. Meantime, I mentioned Toast. Boy, quite a boisterous, fun crowd to talk to this morning. I was talking to some of the people there today. They did price above the range. We'll keep an eye on that, but 21.7 million shares at 40. Look at the price talk, 34 to 36. So again, another digital payment processing service, but again, software, essentially. Software continues to do really well. Same over at the NASDAQ. We're waiting for Freshworks today. This is a big enterprise software company, $36. The price talk, 32 to 34. So this is a $1 billion offering the Freshworks has. We'll keep an eye on that. That's at NASDAQ. Didn't work quite as well with AKA Brands. Again, this is not technology. This is not software. This is millennial Gen Z online fashion brands. 10 million shares at 11. The price talk was 11 to 13, but actually the real price talk was 17 to 19 a few days ago. They lowered it to 11 to 13. And of course, they have a lot of, you know, smaller popular brands with Gen X, but Stitch Fix and some of their competitors haven't done as well recently. Although, Carl, if you take a look, though, at the IPO ETF itself, trend's been up recently. That's a good sign. Recent IPOs doing a little bit better. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob. Thanks. Bob Pisani. As we go to break, bond report, of course, take a look at how treasuries are faring ahead of this afternoon's Fed decision and press conference. We've been watching yields pretty closely this week, given all the events in China. Dow's up 189 in the 10 years, just south of 133. Got multiple baskets of strengths today. Financials not doing too bad. Materials, some travel names doing okay, but it's mostly about energy at the top. Devon, Occidental, there's Freeport, Marathon, Diamondback, all leading the S&P, which is up 20 points on this Wednesday morning. Don't go anywhere. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
If you want to continue to play this oil rally, you do it with ConocoSco, but Devon. Now, Devon's real yield is much higher than what it looks like when you hit it up. They're going to offer a variable yield. This is Rick Moncrief. He's been on the show. He's fabulous. That's the most undervalued stock in the patch. Okay, so play it with Devon. They're good. Great balance sheet, too, by the way.
Very nice.
Tonight, I have the Mr. Metaverse. I've got Unity. Rick and Tyler. Now, I've got to tell you, I think Unity, you know I'm a big believer in the metaverse, David.
Yes.
And then Standard Lithium is that, you know, Rick, Robert, you need lithium for batteries, and that's a big repository of lithium in Arkansas. Hiring a lot of people in Arkansas. But Unity is so exciting. I really think, you know, they got a freemium model, and one day we're all going to live in a Unity universe.
I thought it was Facebook's metaverse we were going to live in.
No, not Unity's. No, Benioff just told us that's no good. But Zuckerberg will be here, and he will defend himself.
Or we'll go out there. I just was talking to them a moment ago.
Yes, we'll go out there.
Yeah.
Digital, well, we'll take it offline, but we are going to go. I'm going to get on. Let's go on a plane tonight. I'm quadruple vaccinated, and even I got Gottlieb approved.
Yeah, we can go, but doesn't mean it's
going
to talk
to us. We're going.
It's a date, if we can get a flight, which is increasingly difficult to do.
I flew out to California, boy, my arm's tired. We're going to get there. But
we'll see you tonight, Jim. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.